All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. I'm happy to be back with you. I'm sure Rick is too. So I've done a lot of exciting things. I went to Washington, D.C. recently for a weekend. I've been there once, but I didn't get to see half the stuff I wanted to see. So I went back and I still didn't get to see half the stuff I wanted to see. I did go to the Holocaust Museum finally. And wow, that just it. We were in there for 2 hours because we had to go back to the car for parking. But maybe it was three. I think it was two. But wasn't even enough time. We had to rush some things, and it was just crazy. I think I, like, teared up twice.
Really?
Yeah. It's a great museum, honestly, to remember everybody that was there. And such a terrible thing that happened. It's weird that, like, you want to go see this thing about a terrible thing that happened. Well, but I mean, it's history. Yeah,
puts it in perspective.
It does. It really does.
Did you visit the veterans wall?
Maybe.
They have all their names on it.
So we got there Friday, and our plan was to get lunch and then walk around the mall. And it ended up downpouring. We were at the Washington Memorial, and it just started downpouring and, like, thunderstorms that you've never heard before. Like, it sounded like the thunder should have been shaking the earth. So, like, the Capitol building's this way, and the Lincoln Memorial's so far that way. So, like, you really have no shelter anywhere. And so we're like, well, Lincoln Memorial's closer. Let's head to that. So we booked it. And by the time we got there, we were so drenched, and the rain just wasn't letting up, and we didn't have an umbrella with us. And so we went back to the Airbnb, got changed, went to dinner. But we did get to see the Washington Memorial, I think it was the World War II. Mm-hmm. We did see, I think, the Korean War Memorial, where they're all they have the soldiers through the field or something. That was really neat. And we saw the Lincoln as well.
Was it busy?
Oh, yeah. D.C.'s always packed.
I didn't think on the weekend, though, it was that busy, but it must be.
Oh, it was crazy. 395, don't ever drive it. People drive ridiculous down there. Like, I thought Jersey drivers are bad, but D.C., Maryland, Virginia, that little area right there, they are terrible. It's like an 8-lane highway. It's, like, jam-packed, can of cars. And that they are just coming over. They're moving over and hoping that you don't go forward. Same with people on bikes, too. They just, like, ride right out and, like, don't even care for their lives. But it was a good trip. I also saw the National History Museum. That was pretty neat. Got this necklace there.
Nice.
It's an amethyst. And that was pretty cool. We wanted to see some other museums, like the Air and Space one. But we didn't get to that.
Kind of goes with the colors you're wearing today.
Yeah, purple. Yeah. And what else did I do down there? We were supposed to go to the ocean Sunday, but it was raining. Mm-hmm. It rained all weekend.
That's bad.
And so we ended up driving out to Delaware to Dogfish Head Brewery. It's good.
Hey, I want to wish Joey a belated happy birthday.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the birthday surprise weekend.
Excellent.
And so other than that, I've been doing soccer. Soccer's in full gear. I just came from a soccer game. And they lost, but it was a good game.
As long as they had fun.
Yeah, they had fun.
You know.
So anyway, let's see. What do I want to get into first? We just had 9/11 recently. It always brings up different groups of people every single year. You got the people that are like, never, ever, ever, ever forget. And yeah, don't ever forget. And then you got the people that are all conspiracy theory. And like, I'm somewhere in the middle of them, because yes, I'll never forget 9/11. I still remember where I was when it happened. I was in kindergarten. I didn't really understand what was happening. We got sent home. And then you got the conspiracy theorists, where I do believe that the government knew about it or could have done something to stop it.
Well, I have to disagree with you.
Okay.
I think the tragedy is all the people that died.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I had definitely.
A friend that worked in a financial office down there that ended up dying. But those planes came in so low, even radar couldn't pick them up. They were flying not too high up down the Hudson River. And if they were higher, I think our jets could have intercepted them. But, you know, they were flying so low that nothing could pick them up. And they only went high as they got closer to the towers. So I don't know about being able to do anything about it. Because they couldn't radio anybody. And that's why the plane that went down to Philadelphia, they just didn't, they took the wrong run. I mean, mm-hmm. they were supposed to go down the Hudson too, I think, and they couldn't find the Hudson, so they veered off a little.
See, what I think is that our government was in on it because we already know they don't really care about us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they were in on it and it had been something in the workings and it became a tragedy and it became a reason to get us into war. And because this regime change in the Middle East had already been started way before this,
mm-hmm.
their plans for regime change over there. And what more perfect than to have a tragedy of on American soil and give us a reason to go over there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we might not ever know. People have ideas all across the board of what happened, what led up to it and all that stuff. But I'm somewhere in the middle, yeah. somewhere in the middle.
Well, they should have back in the late 80s, I think, when that car bomb, that truck with the bomb in it parked in the garage of the Twin Towers,
mm-hmm.
and when it went off, it didn't hit any structural beams or anything, so it didn't do any damage to the building.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have made us aware that somebody is trying to do something. And,
right.
You know, I mean, you know, they started Homeland Security after 9/11. I think they should have done it after that truck loaded with bombs that exploded in the Twin Towers parking garage. They should have had that. And then, you know, but I just feel sorry for the people that died.
Oh, definitely. I always feel so sorry.
It is. I mean, kids that'll never know their father or mother. And,
yep.
You know, it was crazy. But, and your point, we can look at our government now, what they're doing with the FBI
mm-hmm.
and the CIA and the transparency that's not there. I mean, and how crooked they are, and they're catching them now. I can kind of sympathize with your
view. Skeptical right. about 9/11. Like, there's definitely something there to be skeptical about.
Well, look at Benghazi.
Right.
I mean, we knew it was going to happen. Hillary Clinton wouldn't supply any more forces there. They knew it was going to happen. And mm-hmm. the people that died there. So even when you know things.
And in the, what was it? I think it was 1970s. Our own government dropped explosives on a section of a city in Pennsylvania. I can't remember what it was. And I had the article printed out one time. I was going to bring it in and I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to look and get that article again so I can read it. They don't care if they hurt us. They don't. They have all the power. They can pretty much do whatever they want. And they will hurt their own people if necessary. And they felt it was necessary, which it wasn't. They said they were going after like a gangster area or something like that. But I mean, that still doesn't give you the right to just drop bombs on them.
No.
But anyway, so during 9/11, I laughed hysterically at this article that came out. It's titled Donald Trump's Unpresidential 9/11 Mourning. And I couldn't believe that what I was reading. It was about how he spent the morning on Twitter, tweeting stuff out What was it about? Okay. Trump sent early Tuesday morning in which he quoted from guests or anchors on either Fox Business Network or Fox News Channel. Trump also quoted Dobbs mangling of the Justice Department and did some bashing of the department himself. So instead of being sympathetic and talking just about 9/11 and everything, people are angry that he's on Twitter talking about anything other than 9/11. The people are just trying to find things to be angry about. I mean, he was on his way to a 9/11 speech or something like that, remembering the victims, whatever he was going to. Like, he was on the way there, and he's on Twitter talking about other things. Like, I don't know why this is news. I don't know why it's outrage. I don't know why it's news. There were a whole bunch of people complaining about how he didn't even care. But, I mean, 9/11, as tragic as it is, and yes, we should never forget the victims, you can't wrap your entire day on that day on just everything 9/11 related. Like, right. I put out stuff on Facebook that were completely unrelated that day, but nobody's outraged at me. So what makes our president any more different? I mean, he should be held to the same standards that we hold everybody else in society to, which is where the disconnect comes a lot. That's how they get away with crooked stuff, and that's how people put them under microscopes. Like, he's another person. He's got other things going on. He's allowed to be on Twitter and say whatever he wants.
And that's the way it is today. Social media is it.
And I'm sure you can look back at other presidents doing and saying things unrelated to 9/11 on 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't see the outrage there.
Well, you know, I just put an article in, and it's a fact check, and they can't disprove it, which means that it probably happened, that Trump had his employees and himself the day after the bombing looking through the rubble for people that were still alive. Now, if he wasn't concerned about 9/11 when it happened, I mean, he wouldn't have done that because he wasn't a politician then.
Right.
And he had his employees and himself going, helping the firemen and that look for. So that's why it's kind of like, I don't think he'll ever forget that.
Right. I mean, it's not like people are forgetting. It's not like people don't care about the victims. It's just that we don't wrap our entire lives around this one instance on that day. I mean, it's been, this is what, 2001, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been 17 years. All of your Twitter feed is not going to be just 9/11 on 9/11 anymore. And I think it's absolutely crazy that this is the outrage right now.
Well, look at...
why are we not outraged about things that matter?
Right, right. But look at when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. They said no one would ever forget it. And the newspapers don't even put it in the paper anymore.
Right.
I mean, you have to hear it from,
it's
like
part of news. History.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a tragedy. I mean, that a real tragedy. But things, life goes on. People tend to forget about it. And it may not be right, but that's human nature, you know. And with Trump, I mean, look, they blamed this last hurricane on Trump. They said that he was complicit, that it was coming on land. I mean, come on, you know, give me a break.
I mean, you can't blame people for natural disasters.
No.
And I mean, if you live in a hurricane area, you know you're at risk of hurricanes and you need to be prepared. Decide for yourself if, based on the weather reportings and everything, if you should leave or not.
Yeah. Well, or live there.
Or live there, right.
I mean, I would never live in Oklahoma because
of
it's
tornadoes.
Flat and they get tornadoes. I mean, I forget this one city. It's been destroyed like 5 times and they rebuild it. But it's in a tornado lane, and I wouldn't live there. So,
right, I mean, that's the risk that you run.
That's right.
When you put yourself in the way of natural disasters. And, I mean, we can't do anything to stop natural disasters. No. You can only do something for yourself to get out of the way of it.
Right.
And if you're really upset about your house being destroyed or not getting out in time for a hurricane, well, that's your own fault for not evacuating when told to do so, or mm-hmm. not being prepared, or just the fact that you live in a riskful area.
Right.
So speaking of hurricanes, Puerto Rico and that hurricane that they had, that totally destroyed Puerto Rico. But back when that happened, I remember everybody saying, oh, we need to send aid. We need to send money. We need to send food out of our, what is it, FEMA?
Yeah.
Funding or whatever. FEMA. Give them food. Give them water. And I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't send them stuff, but I mean, sending our government aid to their government clearly didn't work, because they just found, what was it, 11,000? Was it 1,000?
I think so.
Gallons of drinking water in a warehouse that never got distributed to their people. They found rotting food that never got distributed to their people. And, I mean, they should have known that was coming when we had previously given Puerto Rico money to use for their, was it infrastructure, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Don't their quote me on that.
Infrastructure.
And they just, it never went to it, and then it doesn't get paid back, and they're in crazy debt to us, but...
Well, half of Puerto Rico's electrical infrastructure was not there when before the hurricane happened.
Right.
I mean, it's not like that hurricane destroyed their whole grid. It wasn't even up. They had problems before the hurricane, and they're blaming everything on the hurricane, and we sent money down to fix the grid, and the government officials kept the money.
Right. And so, I mean... After you decide to send help and it's not used correctly the first time, you think you would learn to not send help to the government for the people the second time. But that's never the case with us. And the way I see it is, no, we shouldn't send them our food, water, and money from our government aid. What we should do is, if you really are an activist and wanting to help these people down there, is you get together, you get other people together, you start fundraising, you start getting food together, start getting water together, and go down and bring it yourself. Figure out a way to do it, because giving it to their government isn't going to go to them anyway. No. And stop looking to our government to go fix problems in the world that you think should be fixed.
Well, you know, you're right. And I get so frustrated when you talk about this, because all this food, they sent four big ships of food and water down there. But the Puerto Ricans would not help unload the ships or distribute the food and water. They wanted the Army or the Marines to do it for them. They would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, come on. If something happened on the mountain where you live, people were bringing food and water, would you help distribute that water to the people that need it up there?
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't wait for government officials to come in and do it. Now, we talk about how much water. Hundreds of thousands of cases, and there's three gallons to a case, and they found hundreds of thousands of cases. So it's not just 11,000. You're probably talking close to 500,000 bottles or gallons of water
of
that
water
they found.
That they just didn't get.
I mean, it's down there. It was covered up.
Right. And so people always think government is the answer, and it's clearly never the answer, especially in Puerto Rico's case. And I can't see why people think that it was going to actually go to these people that needed it.
Right.
So, I mean, like I said, if you want to help a situation, you got to figure out a way to do it yourself with other people, get people together. Because if it's something you really care about, you're going to find a way to do it. And that's the problem, is people don't really care about things that much, but they want to make a big deal about it and have the government deal with it. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to. But if it was left up to them, they probably wouldn't get it done either.
Right. Now, the other day, President Trump visited 5 cities that were hurt by this hurricane, underwater or whatever. And he went to this one town, and there was a Baptist church, and the people put, I forgot how many how many thousands of dinners together in those styrofoam containers. Mm-hmm. And the president was there with the governor, and as the cars were pulling up, he was handing out the meals to them. And I was getting choked up because he was shaking their hands and hugging the kid. The kids wanted a hug from him. And the one lady said, Mr. President, we're praying for you. And he looked at her and he says, we're praying for you. He said, you can pray for me, but you're the focus of everything now. And he stayed for probably half an hour handing out food because they had, you should have seen the lines of cars that were waiting.
And these were all, this was all food that people there made, right?
And volunteered. That volunteers people volunteered made. To the food, and this church put them all together. And like three people were taking, maybe they got like 6 or 7 dinners, you know, maybe 2 apiece. Mm-hmm. And he, I mean, you should have seen the kids that came up to hug him. And he just hugged them back, and he was giving out dinners to the car, to these cars. And it's like, and they were so, they were thanking him. And he said, the people in back of me, the volunteers all had yellow shirts on, they're the ones that you should thank. They're the ones that are doing this. And he said, without government help, he said, they're not getting government food. He said, they may at some point, because, you know, you can't keep donating food
right.
for a month. But he says right now they're the ones helping you out when
right.
you need it.
And really, the power is with the people. And we can do some really amazing, great things if we really put our mind to it and want to actually help and make a difference. And people are just lazy. That's why they look to the government. They're lazy.
Yeah.
So let's see. Speaking of all this government aid and money and spending, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's been a hot topic for me lately. So I have this article here from Reason Magazine. It's a quick little one. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I hate that she has such a long name.
I know.
Every time I say it, it's just too long. That we're going to call her the AOC.
Right.
The AOC.
AOC.
If she ever, if she does get into Congress and ends up putting through a bill, it might be called the AOC plan.
please.
So anyway, so let's see. Where do I start? Okay. When asked yesterday, okay, when was this put out? Let me tell you when this was put out first. I don't see a date. It was pretty recent. I think it was like the 14th. I printed it on the 18th, and it was pretty new. So anyway, okay, when asked where tens of trillions of dollars to pay for these programs would come from, she wouldn't provide an answer. Go figure. Ocasio-Cortez was appearing on CNN's State of the Union to discuss a variety of issues from the aftermath of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. Oh, hey. Forgot that was in this article. To the allegation that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh has committed a sexual assault. When the conversation turned to her domestic policy ideas, CNN anchor Jake Tapper, is it Tapper or Tapper?
Tapper, I think.
Tapper? I don't watch CNN.
No, I don't either, but they always make fun of their people and show clips and how stupid they are. So
so Jake Tapper noted that Ocasio-Cortez's proposal, including Medicare for all, housing as a federal right, a federal jobs guarantee, tuition-free public college, and canceling all student loan debt would cost the federal government more than $40 trillion over 10 years. Tapper got that figure by adding up cost estimates for some of her bigger ideas. According to a cost analysis in Vox, the main Democratic Socialist policies would actually cost roughly $42.5 trillion over the next decade. The biggest culprit is the single-payer health care plan, Medicare for All, which the Mercatus Center says would cost taxpayers $32 trillion. Either way, it's a high number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tapper then cited a July interview in which Ocasio-Cortez claimed that hiking the corporate tax rate would raise $2 trillion over the next decade. But what, Tapper asked, about the other $38 trillion? So she only has a plan to get two trillion. Of the 40.
Right.
And so where is the other 38 coming from?
Well, this lady has no clue. All she wants to do is turn this into a socialist country.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's in her platform that she's running on.
Right.
Democratic socialist.
Yeah, whatever that means, right?
So she responded by defending her most expensive proposal. Medicare for All would save the American people a very large amount of money, which doesn't make any sense. She then explained that these systems are not just pie in the sky, since they exist in other countries as well. What we need to realize is that these investments are better and they're good for our future. The candidate went on to call her proposals generational investments, which means that's crazy if you just wrap it around your head. Generational investments, which means, no, we're not going to be responsible for it, but down the road, a few generations, we're making them responsible for it.
Sure.
So we might not see the repercussions from it, but somebody definitely is.
Noah.
And that's absolutely, it's so wrong to just, that's like taking, that's like going so far in debt that your great grandchild has to pay it off.
Yep.
Because nobody could pay it off until so far down the road. And even they couldn't pay it off, and then they just can't live because they're dealing with your debt.
But not only that, I mean, that never stops. Every year right. it gets bigger and more. And so now you're five generations out, but all in that time, the debt keeps growing. I mean, right. you know, so.
And so she's like, well, no, we're not going to have to pay for it, but we're going to make somebody else pay for it. I that's not right at all. I mean, you don't make your children pay for your debts. You shouldn't. And you shouldn't have your grandchildren have to pay for your debts. So anyway, here we go. She says, it's really profound decisions about who we want to be as a nation. Why are you speaking for all of us? Not we. This is not who we want to be as a nation. Maybe you and the people that follow you, but not we as a collective whole. But as Tapper pointed out, she didn't answer his question. You say it's not pie in the sky, but $40 trillion is quite a bit of money, and the taxes that you talked about raising to pay this only account for $2 trillion. Ocasio-Cortez again failed to provide a specific answer, instead arguing that current health care costs prevent people from spending money. Well, it's because it's so inflated because of the Obamacare thing that went on. And when you add... We did it with the supply and demand. When you subsidize something, it inflates the rates, and everybody has it. And so if we just leave it to the market, there's more incentive for health insurance companies to compete with each other.
Exactly.
To have the lowest premiums with the best benefits.
Well, that's what happens in a capitalistic society. You open it up that way, and competition is what makes
and it makes it better. It provides for improvement, innovation, lower costs, that would make it more accessible to people and more cost friendly than having the government in here subsidizing it.
And if you take all the money away from them, they're not going to be able to afford. Where do they think that people they're going to pay the people when let's say you break a leg and the government has the insurance companies now, all right, do you think they're going to pay for that? They're going to put you on a list. I mean, and
because there's going to be so many people ahead of you trying to get things taken care of.
The same thing. And a heart, let's say open heart surgery.
You see it in Europe. Or is it the UK?
The UK.
The UK. They have...
Even Canada.
They have terrible health facilities, and people wait forever to get taken care of.
And doctors get paid by the government, and they don't get paid hardly anything. So that's an incentive not to have good doctors. I mean, it's
inefficient. It's terrible. The free market would definitely take care of health, the health insurance and the cost. Let's see here. The fact that millennials are hesitant to buy cars and houses is a cost that her proposals will seek to eliminate, she added. I don't even know what that relates to.
No.
How are you going to eliminate the cost of buying a house or a car to a millennial? Are you planning to pay for their cars and their houses?
I don't know, but how about rents? I mean, they're getting so expensive now that if they're paying debt off... because of her programs, apartments around here, you can't live in Saratoga anymore.
Right. So rents are so high, and then she wants to increase the income taxes from people to pay for $2 trillion of her $40 trillion spending plan. And so that's going to take more money away from people. And she's saying she's trying to help these people that are struggling, but you're taking more of their earned money that rightfully belongs to them. And so it just doesn't make any sense. No. And I mean, she's thinking that she's going to get this money from rich people because they're going to pay most of the taxes. But those people know how to avoid paying those taxes.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, though, a lot of them own businesses. All right. They employ people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're going to employ as many people?
Right. It's less of an incentive to employ people. Less of an incentive.
And right now in our country, there are more people working than ever before. The black unemployment rate is the lowest it's ever been in history. I mean, I think it's 3 point something now. And when Obama left, it was 12%. I mean, the economy's doing good now. Now, I know there's people that fall through the cracks that can't get a job or they need help. I mean, they have a program in place now where you can get government help, but you have to work part-time. Otherwise, you can't get get government help. And I think Trump did a good job in that because he's saying, we're not going to give you 100% to stay home. And
he'll do an even better job if he gets rid of it. Right,
and I think you talked about this in a previous show, yeah. I think. And he's saying you have to work so many hours a week, and then we make up the difference. We'll help the difference. And I know people at work where I work, they take time off. They've got a job, but they take time off so they can collect welfare.
Right.
And I mean, they could be working and making money. They could be
working and making money. And but so that's where the abuse of those programs comes in.
Sure.
And so we're going towards more steps of, okay, well, we have this. Let's start making rules to, like, more stricter rules of who can get it and start cracking down on these because it's being so abused. But even though they're doing that, it still gets abused. People still find a way.
Oh yeah, and if she gets in,
oh yeah, definitely.
You won't even have to work.
Right.
I mean, see, I'm a big believer in a flat tax. That
a flat tax is better like than 17%. Right.
Now, if you buy a rowboat, let's say, you're paying 17% of that. Well, if Joe Smith is a multimillionaire and he buys a big motorboat, he's paying 17% of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see anything wrong. I mean, they've proven, Steve Forbes proved that we would make more money. And
on a flat tax.
Yeah, on a flat tax.
So. You know what I liked in D.C.? I don't think there was any sales tax.
Really?
I think maybe it was included in the price already. But every time I looked at a receipt, it was just a total of the price tags on my stuff. there was no tax added into that. So I don't know if they account for it in the price of the stuff you're buying.
Well, maybe Washington doesn't have one because it's not like a city. You know, I mean, where does it go? Where would it go? I mean,
there was somewhere else that I was in that was the same way, maybe. I don't remember where. But I was confused because I was like figuring out the numbers in my head, what the tax might be and stuff. And then it came up to the total of what the just the price tags would add up to. I was like, huh, no tax is pretty nice.
I think I'll buy another one.
But, I mean, sales tax is all voluntary, which whatever. But income tax is definitely just, it's right out theft of your hard-earned income. And so, let's see here. So, Tapper comes in. And I'm surprised this is all coming out of a CNN reporter.
I can't believe it.
And he says, I'm assuming I'm not going to get an answer for the other $38 trillion, but we'll have you back and maybe we can get over that. I laugh. 1 point for CNN. Well, I'll give him one. So Ocasio's refusal to explain where the money would come from isn't surprising because the answer didn't help her cause. She claims that raising taxes would... on just the super wealthy would pay for her proposals. But as reasons Christian, not even going to pronounce his last name, explained earlier this month, that's just not true. Just look at Denmark's welfare state. According to a 2015 Tax Foundation study, Denmark's top marginal income tax bracket of 60% kicks in for income earners making over 120% of the national median income, which would be about 70,000 here in the U.S. And the country charges a 25% value added sales tax. In the U.S., one has to make about 700% of the national median income, 400,000, before they're subject to top marginal tax rates. The U.S. also has no value added tax, with the steepest sales tax in the country barely cracking 10%. Was there more? But anyway, gist of the story, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, our AOC here, is completely avoiding answering this question. She has no idea how she's going to get the money. And what she would do is just take it from everybody to find, she would find it somewhere and just steal it. Mm-hmm. It'd be flat out theft. And she would drive everybody broke. And we'd all be in breadlines. We'd all be in breadlines.
Have you ever noticed the countries that the Democrats cite as having free tuition and health care and that are about the size of New Jersey?
Right.
I mean, we're so large, you can't do that. But they get right. These tiny countries like Denmark and Sweden, and look how good it works there. But then you take a country even like Great Britain, and it's a complete disaster.
It's a disaster.
I mean, have you ever seen an Englishman's teeth? Even the Queen. They don't have dentists. They don't pay. So everybody's teeth are crooked. I mean, everybody in the country. I'm sure the royal family, they have perfect teeth, but... it's just, you got to look next time. I mean, it's ridiculous.
What was it? I lost my train of thought. Oh, so another thing in the news lately is the Brett Kavanaugh thing and the sexual assault allegations. And all I have to say about it is we just don't know. How do you know? And I was listening to Dave Smith's Part of the Problem podcast the other day, and he was saying, how come it seems to be that people wait until this person gets a high status to come after them? They said, he goes, because this guy was a really high up judge to begin with. And could have been hurt really bad by these allegations at any point. And so why now? Why not then? Right. You could have come after him then and done some damage as well. But what I have to say is this happened so long ago, there's absolutely no way to prove it. It can't be brought to court. It just can't. It can't be brought to court and proven correct.
Well, even a lot of her friends said that he was a nice guy in school and that they never heard him do anything like that. I mean, this, and another thing, and I think she may be in trouble for this, that Dianne Feinstein, a senator,
mm-hmm.
she had that letter in July. Why wasn't it brought out during the hearings?
Right.
Why that piece of paper? And this lady wanted to be anonymous. She did not want her name out.
Mm-hmm.
And someone leaked the name to the New York Times. And I think it was Feinstein. And then this lady had to be brought up and made a mockery of, and when she probably just wanted to stay anonymous in that. But she withheld information, pertinent information, to a hearing, and mm-hmm. she didn't bring it out and waited until the hearing was over, closed, and everything, and then brought the letter out to delay. That's all it was. It's a game.
Right. And, like, it. I just no way. No way to prove anything, and it sucks, because what if she is telling the truth? We don't know. What if she's lying? We don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's up to the American people to decide what you think, like, each individually, and nothing's going to come from this, because there's no way to get anything from this. And so, honestly, it's just going to be what you believe individually about Brett Kavanaugh.
And another thing, she one of her demands through her lawyer for this hearing was that she wanted him to go first and then she would go second. Well, when you accuse somebody of something, you go first and make the accusations, and then the person you're accusing of
rebuttals
can say, you know, this didn't happen and this is why. But in asking for him to go first, just kind of smells like
it's a little fishy. Yeah.
You know, I mean, she might be trying to get her 15 minutes of fame like Stormy Daniels did, you know?
Right. And so I don't know. I think it's a waste of time, because it could have been brought up and damaged him. If that's what she's looking to do, is to damage him, it could have been brought up and damaged him
right
before he got the nomination.
Yeah.
And
he had six positions as judge going up the line each right. time. And he had six FBI background checks.
So why now?
Right.
That's You're just right. the question. Why now? It makes no sense. So what also doesn't make any sense is, I don't have the article here with me right now, but I did read something yesterday. I think it was in Texas. Don't quote me on it. But this lady decided to pull her kids from public school because she didn't feel that public school was doing their job. And so she pulled them from public school and decided to homeschool them. She filled out all the proper paperwork, and the school gave her paperwork confirming that she had completed the process to remove her kids from the public school system and begin homeschooling them. So she's homeschooling them. I can't remember how long, maybe 2-3 months or something like that. And CPS came to her house. There had been a charge against her and a warrant for her arrest due to her children not being in school. And she wouldn't let them come in and take her children. And because she said, no, I was informed that I properly submitted all necessary paperwork, and they are now out of the school system. And so they came back and they arrested her and they took her kids and put them in foster care. And now she's going through court and everything. And it's just absolutely crazy. Somebody didn't do their job, and go figure, it's a public school system. So a government employee didn't do their job and got some innocent person arrested, because our criminal justice system and our governmental system is just so backwards. And I mean, she was doing it for a good reason too, pulling her kids from school, because she felt she could teach them better, that they weren't learning what they needed to be learning. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think anybody should be allowed to homeschool their child without having to provide the correct documentation and go through some kind of process. If you don't want them to be in school, say, I'm unenrolling them from school, and just unenroll them. And I don't feel like you should have to document to the government that you're like certified to homeschool your child or whatever. It shouldn't be such a big process.
Right. I mean, the Texas law requires the instruction must be real. The children must be in visual form, either books, workshops, or monitors, so they can touch base with the school at some point. The curriculum must include the five basic subjects of reading, spelling, grammar, mathematics, and good citizenship. Those are the only requirements to homeschool your child, and that can be done very easily.
Very easily. And I don't think public school should be a requirement of children. Some kids, I mean, you got some families that are farm families that they learn as they go. And like, yes, you're responsible as a parent. You should be teaching your kids how to read and write and all that stuff.
And spell.
But some kids are just going to grow up on the farm, stay on the farm, take over the farm. And I'm just using farming as an example, but I mean, some kids don't really need to go to school. They can learn what they need to learn at home with their parents. They're going to learn responsibility and everything. And
you got to be smart. I mean, you took farms. You got to be smart to run a farm.
Yeah.
You got to know math.
There's a lot of
you gotta
learning
know,
that goes along with it.
And I'll tell you, you talk about public school education. 75% of high school graduates that go to college have to take remedial English and writing,
mm-hmm,
because they didn't learn it in school.
English has fallen by the wayside.
Right.
Has really fallen.
So, and the ability to read, because public school doesn't do that. I mean, they don't teach kids how to read. So they need to take remedial courses in college to learn this, which... So you say public schools, I mean, they're not the greatest thing that goes.
They're
they
not.
Don't even teach kids.
Right.
They've got all these other subjects.
They're
that,
just going through learning for tests.
Right.
It's they don't like actually do real education, real thoughtful education in the material. Like I remember in English, we started in like elementary school. We started learning like all the rules that come along with English, and then somewhere along the line it just like disappeared. Like they didn't apply. We weren't learning about anymore. Like, you know, when you learn foreign language, mm-hmm, you go so far into depth about all the rules and the endings and all that stuff for whatever noun. And
right.
I mean, English has a lot of rules to it. It's a very hard language. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember ever learning English like that. And I know I grew up speaking English. It's my language.
Right.
And so I already know English, but like I wasn't really taught English as a language.
Right. I mean, there's so many meanings of the same word.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. I mean, you can have one word and it means something different four or five different ways, the way you use it. And I don't think kids are learning that.
No,
today.
They're just reading books and talking about them.
Yeah. And
they're not even really reading them, because they're not like, I remember a few times just getting a book and like spark noting it.
Sure.
Because I have enough time to read it.
Well, I used to get those, what were they? I forget what they're called now. The books that you bought in the store. It was like Cliff's Notes or something.
Yeah, and like I enjoy reading, but there were a few books that I didn't like.
Right.
And so like after the first two chapters, I'm like, I'm going to spark note it.
Now, did you learn handwriting? Did they teach handwriting in school when you were a kid?
So they taught us cursive in third grade, okay. which they don't teach anymore.
I know.
And that was the only time we ever touched it. And as far as handwriting, they really just had us write on like lined paper with like the middle line in it. So, but not like penmanship.
That's it. And you know, kids really can't do that. They can't. Noah's
handwriting is terrible.
And it's very, well, she may listen to this, but I think kids that are 26, 27 have a hard time writing cursive now. And what's becoming a problem is that they can't read it.
Oh, yeah. Reading cursive can be difficult.
They're not going to be able to read cursive. And I think that's sad.
Yeah, I write in cursive, like for letters and stuff, just to get the practice to keep it in my hand. But I do know some people that can't read or write cursive very well.
Yeah.
And the only problem I have with it is the letter Z.
Yeah.
I can't ever remember how to do it. And so I just do some like weird squiggly thing. But our education system is fallen by the wayside, especially the English language. It's English language class. It should be taught English as a language.
Right.
It should be taught to us the way they teach English as a foreign language to other people that speak a different language. That way we can really understand it. Because if you look at it really, like, people in other countries that speak a different language, when they learn English better than we speak it.
Oh, sure.
Because they're learning it as a different language. I mean, the same goes to say, I guess, when we learn Spanish. Like, if you really go into depth learning Spanish, you probably speak it better than the people that natively
speak.
Because
they're using
their own
short words or their own slang.
How they're comfortable with
it. I went to school, it was always reading, writing, and arithmetic. Those were like the core subjects that you had to know. Now it's history being changed. You got to learn this right way of history. I mean, because everybody was bad before the
1900s. And we were great.
Yeah.
We were great.
Eek.
Speaking of education system, we all know Larry Sharp is trying to reform that and do good things with that. He has a rally coming up in Albany.
Wow.
In October. And I can actually go to it. I've been trying to.
You couldn't even go to the one that was local here.
I know. I was busy. It's on a day at a time that I can make it.
Good.
And I'm going. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
You should be.
He's on the ballot. It's going great. I saw a poll, which we all know polling is, or like early polling is never really correct. You can't go by it. But sometimes it can make you hopeful.
Sure.
I saw one that said he was like at 42%. Cuomo was at like 18. And the Republican was at like 20. Does that add up?
Yes. I mean, I know he said 42. Don't have to add up to 100 either, because there's another independent running too. And mm-hmm. she may not have a lot of percentage. You know what I mean? But she's part of it. But I know that the two are catching up to Cuomo, and he's going to have a real hard time because there's a lot of downstate people that don't like him. And where's Larry from?
He is from Queens.
Okay, so you got the Republican that's from Westchester County.
Mm-hmm.
You got Larry Sharp that's from Queens. So they're going to pull votes away from people that voted for Cuomo, because
they're usually from there.
The area always votes Democratic, but there's a lot of Democrats that don't like Cuomo. So he's got a good chance of losing this year.
Yeah, and it would be, if we could get Larry Sharp in office, that would be a really, really great victory for New York.
And I think we need a third party.
We do need a third party. And then hopefully, if New York goes gold, we can start inspiring other states to go gold, because I mean, if New York did it, anybody else can do
it. That's right.
And I mean, the more third party people we get in here, the more diverse our government system across the country will be, and just the more more different ideas coming in, because this whole Democrat Republican thing is just it's gone on so long. They're basically the same now. Yeah. If they're not spending money in one way for like socialist ideas, they're spending it in war on the other side,
right,
and military. And so either way, we're spending a ridiculous amount of money, and they're doing the same thing, just different principles,
right,
of what
different social issues. Yeah. I think that's the main thing. I mean, Republicans, you have more conservative on fiscal and social issues, and Democrats have different views on social and financial issues. But I, you talked about a third party, and Russ Perot had an awful lot of followers, but I think his problem was with his age. He was too old, I think, at the time to sustain a couple more election cycles and get more and more people to to get to his side, because there were a lot of people that backed him. But, you know, and I think Larry's young enough where he can build a consensus and even in 4 years have more followers than he does now if he loses. And he can probably be a very important person.
Very influential, yeah. I hope the best for him.
Yep.
And I really hope we can change things in New York and try to start changing things elsewhere. But, I mean, changing New York would be mean a world of a difference to so many people that live here. I mean, we're losing so many people because our state is so terrible. But, yeah, Larry Sharp.
All the way.
All the way. I think I'm going to wrap it up there.
Okay.
And so thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next time.